Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I want to ask a question. I ain't going to be long, though. What do you feel that constituents expect from their MP?
Just like the guy said earlier on, a person who's at least honest, who has some integrity, who exercises good judgment, and cares about the well-being of human beings.
So why there are some that just because that to be a politician, they go join a party, they run, and that's all there is, a member of the party, no help, nothing to
but,
the people.
But you can't blame them. You got to blame the people that put them in. If people don't spend time getting to know a candidate and make sure that when they're voting for someone who has the qualities that they're looking for, well, then don't blame the person, the wrong buddy, for getting in.
Honestly, too, but I feel some can keep away from the people, though. Honestly, there's some that all their interest in. There's some of them are, to be honest, it boils my stomach to see how they treat some constituents.
But they only get that opportunity based on votes. So if it is that you voted, for example, and a lot of people voted for a person, and then you complain, you have to then blame yourself. Sometimes the criteria, I find, when you ask persons who vote, what is the criteria? For some people, it's just about the party. For some people, man, he's a handsome man, or he got a nice shirt, or some silly things like that. Or he promised me a ham and rice and stuff like that. But we need to dig a little deeper when we're choosing the right candidate. Now, we have a by-election coming. I don't know who the other candidates are. We know that the Barbados Labour Party has announced Tony Moore to run on their behalf.
That's a very good candidate, I believe. I know the Barbados Labour Party got a good candidate. I hope she wins.
Well, again, as I said, all of the other candidates, regardless of whoever they vote for in the end, I'm hoping that the good people of St. George North and all the other constituencies, when the time comes, pay some attention to the persons who want your vote, because it is the difference between you surviving and barely breathing. You know, like, there are people who just, they're living, when I say barely surviving, I should say, not really living. They're day to day, they can't find jobs and they're not eating well. And I'm not saying to blame an MP, but if you're going in there to represent me, I'm thinking I am not the only person in your constituency that got a problem. So, you know, they need to fight a little harder with their colleagues across the various ministries to get things done. But I say ASAB, that goes back now to the government workers, because I don't blame MPs or ministers. I blame government workers, because it's the same government workers that are actually stopping progress in this country. Some of them, they're stopping the progress in this country. And I know a lot of people are fully aware of that. It's not a minister in most cases. It's not the PS in a lot of cases. It's from the person who has to answer a phone up until the finance department, customer service, the cleaners. If people don't do their job properly, then this is what happens. If you hear me huffing and puffing, Dennis asked me to move my car. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Very good afternoon, Ms. Hale.
Good afternoon to you, too.
Right. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. What about you?
There's always room for improvement, but I'm okay, thanks.
Good.
Right. Okay, we're all here.
Hi, Roll.
Right. I want to make two comments today. One, what we heard in the news item, the breaking news, is a tropical depression.
Tropical wave.
Tropical wave. Okay, tropical wave, which means that it is not like, a hurricane or a storm is approaching Ireland.
No, but they made sure that it's not coming with like a lot of wind. From what we understand, it's a lot of rain.
The point I'm making is that, you know, they can get the hurricane or storm diverting and what have you, but this wave would be a different something. It says something about 6 to 8 inches of rain is anticipated. Now, my concern here is, in the states and the big cities where you get this sort of downpour, inches of rain, you have to start to put programs or looking at the evacuation process. I am not an expert. I'm not in the Met office. I am just saying I hope that persons start to get themselves together in case they've got to be evacuated. They will have certain things put in place and person effects and what have you. Because when you get 8 inches of rain, 6 inches of rain, you know, a little bit of rain in these low-lying areas, I hope that person start to prepare tentatively in case they've got to be evacuated. That's one. Two, as the lady just now spoke about the bridge and the precarious way the bridge is in St. Joseph, she says?
Yes.
I want, and then she made a comment about all these repairing about roads and whatever. I don't want to say about all this comment about roads, repairing and infrastructure done and thing. I want to refer to something that was in the Sun, September 27th, Sunday that I just gone, and it's the back page of the Sun, and it's $15 million road work. And the subheading is West Coast Highway soon to undergo upgrade. I have no quarrel with that, and I appreciate all the upgrading, all the infrastructure and changing up. They put in the mains, the light and power mains, gas, water, what have you, and upgrade the road. I have no quarrel at all. I endorse and I agree. The one question I want answered, and this is not direct attack. I ain't attacking no minister. But I'm asking Mr. Ian Goodenagy to investigate what has become of the contract from Trent Stapes Hill, the undone road down the road in Orange Hill, and this precarious cut rock here with two. Let the minister hear the amount of complaints and the amount of people that come in this cut rock, and two large vehicles can't pass. You cannot get a bus and an L200 passing, a bus and a big car. And every minute, somebody has to reverse back, and sometimes they're adamant, and both of them sticking the corner there, and nobody is moving. That is an undone contract. I know you've now gone to the ministry, sir, but I'm asking you to look into what has become of the... It's an undone contract. And I would like the cut rock here to be cut, and I like those steel that's sticking up in the road, stick them to the side of the road, where they've got that gutter undone with all the red tape around them. Every now and again, tape become... disintegrated, they're going to put on a fresh piece of red tape. That contract is going from 1998, and it is undone. I'm not saying you're not to take on the new contract, but what has become of the Trent Stapes Hill contract? Why this is so, inconvenience in the cut rock every day? For years I've been talking about this. Sir, look into it and see what can be done in regard to having it brought to closure, sir. I regard you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. This WhatsApper here is making a plea to the NIS, stating that they receive $1,175 out of that, or should I say they're making a plea in general, not only to the NIS, but to welfare. Out of that, $573 would go to a loan. That leaves her with $602. She says here her rent is $650. She has to then pay light, water, gas. She said, Ms. Haig, I'm living in poverty. I live alone with no help. That they went to the welfare, but they don't know when they will get back to her. She's stating, she's also indicating that she's scared of being evicted. And she is also stating that she may lose her home. And it seems to be housing. And this is government. She's stating that she is worried about being evicted from a unit. And she is asking for some help. Down to Brass Tacks, you are on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hayes.
Yeah, before you say anything to that WhatsApper, it's very difficult for us to even point you in any direction because we can't, there's no name and we certainly won't be able to publicize it, but we will encourage you to speak to maybe Welfare Department again and probably touch base with your MP in the area to see if there's anything else that can be done for you. Okay, sir, go ahead.
All right, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
I'm going to give thanks to the Barbara's Little Power Tree Cutting Team, Mr. Blaze and Mr. Skinner, for doing some wonderful work here in St. Thomas.
Okay.
Also the Barbara's Water, who has improved in their work. Last year, it took them 6 months to patch a road that they had dug up. This year, only took 2 weeks.
OBWA dug up the road?
Yes, please.
Okay, and they patched it up?
6 months. 6 months to get patched back.
And how is the water situation your side?
Rainways are running.
No. Portable water coming through your taps.
It's okay. I have no concerns.
Good.
Per se.
Good.
But people keep complaining. Morris says, "Prince, well, he's calling, give thanks for the good work people are doing in Barbados."
Well, yeah, that's true. I agree that we need to count our blessings, and that if we do, you may find out it would exceed your burdens, but you still have to understand there's some genuine cases out there, people suffering, and the only way that they know how is to either reach out or talk to somebody about it, and it may not be necessarily complaining. I call complaining pertaining to people who call and have an agenda, not necessarily people who have a case where it's legit and they need some help. They're bringing it to the attention of the authorities through brass tacks, and we have no issues there. There are a lot of people who are still hurting in this COVID environment. There are a lot of casualties with job losses and all kind of things, back to school challenges and the elderly. There's a lot. There's a lot going on. So you can't really blame some for calling and stating their case. Those who have an agenda, you have to be mindful of.
Well, next week when they call, when you're on, I have a different case for you.
Oh, dear.
You're going to like it.
Okay.
It's going to go down your alley.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, enjoy the rest of the week.
You too. Down to brass tacks. 19 after 1. We're going up until 2 p.m. You are on the air.
Good evening. Good day.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, I'm well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm very good, thank you.
You have to forgive me. This is my first time ever calling in to Brass Tacks. So
no,
be
welcome.
Gentle with me. My name is Paula Ann Moore, and I represent the concerned group of parents that have been agitating vociferously for our children who took the recent CXC exam. And we are calling just to highlight our concerns with the real serious negative impact. We would call it a disastrous impact on these children. And we're agitating to ensure that they get the justice that they deserve, which is simply that they get grades that they worked their hearts and sold out for, and that they were required to risk their health to come out and sit during a pandemic when other countries all over the world found other means of assigning grading to their children for their academic year end.
So you are a parent, you said, right? Just making for clarity. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm one of the parents whose children were affected directly. But we do feel that we're representing not just Barbadian children, but the region's children as we agitate for justice for these children.
Let me ask you a question. When they do the investigations and let's say they found out that nothing changed, that they said, look, this is what it is. What's the next step?
Well, let's back up a bit because there are several short-term, intermediate-term, and long-term objectives that we're trying to ascertain.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, in those cases where it is quite clear that the actual grades that were awarded are at great variance to the historical behavior and performance of
mm-hmm.
the children. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They should be revised upward, and we're not going to rest until that is achieved. Secondly, there needs to be an investigation by CXC as to how this debacle occurred, because there are many faults and many failures on many levels. It's not just that their children, that through their entire life, they got grade one, and then all of a sudden they're getting grade fours and grade fives. Their entire cohorts of students that got ungraded, entire classes that received an ungraded remark are marked. There are children that attended and have evidence that they attended the exam, and yet they've got ungraded, and CXC is saying that they didn't get grades. Conversely, there are children that may not have had performances throughout their school life at grade one level, and they got grade one. Even the communication, normally CXC communicates the results refers to the ministries, and the ministries disseminate them to the public. CSC and their wisdom this year communicated directly to the children. And even at that level, perhaps if they had gone through the normal protocols, sent the information to the ministries would have caught those disparities and not traumatized these children. There were children that were under suicide watch the night that the results were released. And we as parents, whether you're a parent or not, we as adults are mandated to protect and defend our children. And we cannot rest until, one way or another, this is addressed, and it's addressed by CXC. So they need to change those grades expeditiously. They need to do a systemic review by an external auditor. They need to advise the public exactly how this revised methodology for grading was executed. Clearly, it was flawed. We have our suspicions as to how it got so flawed, but we won't mention them in this forum. And they need to apologize. And frankly, I didn't want to say it before, but the registrar needs to go, because his initial response up until this date and up until now, and then turn around and in addition to that, accuse them of fraud, it's unacceptable. And I'm sorry, the registrar needs to apologize, so that's optional. But he can just go along by his business, honestly. And while, as we said in our statement that the issue that was carried in the print media today, while we welcome Sir Hillary's response, which is more refined than the current registrar of CXC, in that he recognized that there were problems, Sir Hillary did not indicate that those problems are clearly systemic and they need to be addressed expeditiously. And clearly, they have to indicate more. There are lots of questions that have not been answered in Sir Hillary's statement in terms of how they approach to go about reviewing these grades. Do they expect the normal standard that the public pays $30 per query or per review? How long does that take? In addition to that, the academic year has been severely truncated. What is CXC's plan in terms of the syllabi for the academic year ended 2021? Before this academic year started, CXC should have indicated the extent to which CSEC and CAPE needs to be revised, because it's impossible. We don't know what the pandemic is going to bring to us. The normal syllabi is not going to be finished in time. That needs to be addressed. And we, the public, demand answers, and we're not going to rest until we get those answers. And we have been fortunate enough just today to be able to obtain the legal services of Garth Patterson of Lexbian, and they have agreed to work with us to agitate on our behalf to bring additional pressure to bear on the powers that be, so that these children can get the justice that they deserve. And we are not going to stop until they get the justice that they deserve in an expeditious manner.
Paula Ann, I want to join you too on that, because I feel strongly about it. I admire the fact that the children got up and protested. I hope they continue to do it without fear.
We do plan a further protest this week. Further details to be announced. And we hope to coordinate it and make it a regional protest. And we have international media that has expressed an interest. Mm-hmm. And if that international interest is what it's going to take to make the powers that be change course, so be it. Because this is an existential threat. I'm sorry to cut you off, but you may have gathered I'm a bit passionate about it.
No, that's
this.
Okay.
This is an existential threat to the credibility and future of CXC. And it behooves CXC, regardless of any legal immunity that it is granted because of the various CARICOM agreements, which is a whole other conversation in itself, which may be perhaps why there's a certain arrogance and perception of lack of accountability that maybe has permeated the culture at CXC now.
Let's touch on, I don't want to
cast aspersions on the entire slate of professionals at CXC with throughout the region. I know that there are a lot of professionals that work their guts out to provide a fundamental and critically important service to our region. And I salute and I commend the workforce of CXC. But the buck stops at the top.
I agree. But let me ask you, Paula, more importantly than well, that's important too, about the children. Obviously, you're involved because you're a parent of one of the,
yes.
Exactly, and has impacted your child and some other children. And you mentioned earlier that some children, you know, actually been on suicide watch. What are some of the challenges, the repercussions, the impact that you've been seeing and hearing from other parents, what children are actually going through?
And again, I do not think people appreciate how challenging, especially CAPE level, but CSEC and CAPE level, people do not understand the effort that entails in going through the syllabi. And that's a whole other conversation, because I don't know if it necessarily needs to be so onerous. There are children that get exempted up to grade year two at university based on their CAPE level results. So imagine you're a child. Imagine that this is the opportunity you have to raise yourself and your family out of your socioeconomic condition, but through your work at CSET and CAPE. You know what you're capable of. You know what you have done. Your teachers know what you're capable of. Your parents know. We're slightly biased, yes. Your parents know what you're capable of and what you have achieved. You're accustomed to getting one, and you turn on the portal, and you get a 4, you get a 7, you get ungraded. I am mother of 3 boys that I gave birth to. But I'm a mother of many other boys, and I'm an auntie of enough children. And if you see how these children, the boys, of course, they try to be macho, and that in itself can be problematic because they may internalize their pain. The girls collapse. Some of the girls said their lives are over. Their life, they have no meaning. They bawl in the parents all night. And frankly, part of the reason why I am not resting on this, and our group, which is at least 120 parents, we are not resting, is that the children are holding on because they can see that we're working on their behalf.
But let me ask you, while all of this is going on, what kind of support systems in place for these children in the meantime? Besides
well,
the parents.
I have to say, I'm very impressed by our school in that the headmistress, well, you know now how old I am. I'm talking about headmistresses. The principal and the year head worked quite proactively and organized a meeting with the year group. They told them not to give up. They said that they're going to work with them. They provided counseling if needed be. I know that parents have been quite vigilant over their children. And I don't want to focus on the unspeakable because I don't want to appear hyperbolic. But it is a real concern. And God forbid that we do not do enough and we open the paper or click on social media and see that the unspeakable has happened. And it did happen to one of my son's friends with regard, it is alleged, to CSET results. So that is a real concern. And we just want what the children deserve and what they have earned and worked so hard for. And frankly, I'm a bit disappointed in some of my fellow Barbadians. It's easy for me to say that because, yes, I have a personal interest because it's my son and many of his friends. But the public should be rising up in an outcry. It's an injustice. And what I do not like is what I am seeing on social media that is, oh, it's just the elite schools that have a problem. These are children. These are individuals. These are blood and flesh. My belly has been hurting since Tuesday, the 22nd at 4:30 when the results were given. These children deserve more than this.
But let me ask you a question, because people are messaging in, and some people are saying here overachievers with no coping skills. However, I'm just reading what someone wrote, but let me just throw this one at you, because you know you come public, so you know you're gonna be subjected to people's opinions. So
my back is broad.
Okay, so you're here advocating for all who are impacted. Meanwhile, children, your children, your child, other people's children listening, don't you think that maybe they may themselves feel a sense of pressure too from the parents and the disappointment of the parents, not necessarily only in what might have happened, but the nervousness that they're feeling, it may not only be because something went wrong. Do you think that part of this could be, no, my mother, my father invested in lessons and they're going to be disappointed in me? I just want to be sure that the support is going to be there while the marching going on, that the pressure that these children are feeling in the event it doesn't go the way that they may want, they can look to the parents for support and not necessarily coming down on them, because the march is about getting justice, yes. But while you're getting justice, and little Mary in the bedroom crying and bawling her eyes out, and mommy don't know because mommy out there marching, or mommy out there on the phone talking to everybody about it, while Mary is pining away and wondering, oh my gosh, look at what this is doing to my mom and my father and my family. And then they actually start to feel more pressure. So I'm just worried about the balance now about the children, not only the impact of the results and what CXC has done or did not do, about the parents now, and in terms of what support they're going to give them and the kind of pressure they're going to feel, feeling like if they've disappointed their parents too.
Well, it's a valid question, and I appreciate it. It's a complex, multifaceted issue, right? Mm-hmm. The initial reaction was bad in terms of how the children felt. And obviously, I can't speak 100% for everybody. Mm-hmm. Sure, there are parental expectations. But let me tell you, most of the children I know that they are competitive children, and they are working for their own self-satisfaction. They want to do well. So it's not necessarily that it's an issue that they're mad because they feel that they've let down parents. The issue is the injustice of it, and the universal injustice of it. You get disappointment. I know several children that were hoping for X and they got Y. Excuse me. But the fact that clearly there was a systemic failing of the grading of CXC, let's put the responsibility where it is, where it should be. It's at the foot of CXC, and with all due respect to the various CARICOM entities, the ministries of education that agreed to CXC to revise the methodology didn't work. Sir Hillary, in his statement, made a comment that they were logistical challenges expected. So clearly, they expected that there would be issues, but certainly not at this widespread scale. So fix it, Jesus. Fix it. Fix it, Santia. Whoever got to fix it, it needs to be fixed. I can speak specifically for Barbados, but on behalf of the region. And that comment about overachievers and coping skills, that's really that is a cheap shot, and it is beneath the person that made it.
And they're also saying, why Harrison's College Queens? What happened to the other schools?
How much time do you have? Maybe I should call back another thing, because
I'm reading the WhatsApp for her. It says, Joanne, why only Harrison's College Queens? What happened to the other schools? I will tell you, if this is Harrison's and Queens, if they weren't involved with this, what people would be complaining in the same way. That they're asking, if it wasn't Queens and Harrison's involved in this, if people would be still complaining in the same way.
Well, I don't quite understand the logic of that. Okay. That person, whatever issues they have, they can fix. Jesus can help them fix that one too, because there's a certain anti-electoralism that seems to be wrapped up in that, and I'll leave that alone.
All right, you gonna give you the last word, because we gotta.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The comment is that You're looking at the historic performance of the children and the school. And that would inform, if there's a great variance with these results, it calls into question the credibility of the results. It's that simple.
What about COVID-19 and the and possible factors of COVID-19 related, whether it be children scared, not comfortable, did they change the format, the exam, things like that, that if you get back the paper and it says, CXC says, look, we've reviewed, we checked this paper, this child did not get a one, this child actually got a three.
You said we. Hence our question, and again, as we go back to what our demand is, because CXC has lost significant credibility with the output, i.e. these results, and then the communication or lack thereof, the urgent, callous, however synonym for horrible response by the registrar, CXC has really failed the public and lost credibility. Them to regain their credibility, there needs to be an audit by an external entity. And again, Sir Hillary kindly said there will be an investigation by who, when, where, and when. Mm-hmm. And when will the results be published? Because we need transparency into that investigation. And then we will take the next step as okay. need be from
Well, I just want to reiterate again, and I'm not telling you what to do. I'm a mother too, two daughters. And of course, if this had happened to me, we all do different things in different ways. One of the things I would want to make sure, for me personally, is that my daughters know that regardless of the outcome, that there's no pressure, that we'll do what we can to make it wrong right. But my focus would have to be on the psychological impact in the meantime of my children, because I know how that can impact them, especially if they think that they have a parent that they feel that they've disappointed. And I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm saying in some cases, children may be experiencing that right now as I speak. They, for them, some of them, it probably don't even matter. But for the parent, it means a lot, more so than to this child. So I'm just saying that we need moving forward to make sure that our children are okay psychologically, as well as justice to be served from the CXC end of things. But I want to thank you so much, and you keep fighting the good fight. We got about 15 minutes left, 17 minutes. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Miss Hague?
I'm very good. What about you?
Reasonably well.
Good.
All right, so I'll try to be swift. So a caller called and was asking a very good question, in my opinion. Greetings to the VRB chatters. The question was, what do you think constituents are looking for from the PM, from the MP in the area? And usually the incumbents or the aspirants would come into the neighborhood when it's election time, and they would introduce themselves and so on. And some would necessarily ask you of your concerns. Some would tell you what they are about. Yeah. What I find is that most of the MPs, when they get into office, they end up getting ministries, and they then devote most of their time to the goings-ons of the ministries. And the constituents who have issues, the ancillary staff for the MPs, they don't seem to go into action to work on behalf now of the MPs with respect to the constituent. For example, I have a client who lost her home a few years ago, and she got assistance from the representative of her area to get another house. But now she needs to use her title deed as collateral to finish her home. The problem that we have is that the Land Registration Act is discriminatory towards proprietors who own unregistered land. So I took it upon myself to contact two members of parliament, the member of parliament for my area and the member of parliament for her area. And we cannot get any assistance. Now, it goes further than that. This is a public service. I then went to the Registrar of Titles and the Deputy Registrar of Titles, had a meeting with them, outlined to them the problem that my client has. Well, I too have that problem because I have a deed that needs recording. But it cannot be recorded because the Land Tax, the Land Registration Act says that the Registrar of Titles shall not record an instrument or deed with respect to unregistered lands unless it carries the signature of an attorney. However, proprietors of registered lands, they don't have to do that. So that is discrimination because you are treating you're treating two individuals differently with respect to the same issue. So I can't get members of parliament for both of our areas, neither can I get public service officers like the Registrar of Titles to address the matter. Now, in the same very act, at section 155, it tells you, paraphrasing, that where this act does not speak of a certain issue, then it must be dealt with in accordance of the principles of common law and equity. Now, I cited that to the Registrar of Titles. So I came home and I submitted a documentation through email to the Registrar of Titles and the Deputy Registrar of Titles acting, requesting that they look into this matter and actually facilitate the needs of the public because it's discriminatory. And if they are public service officers, then I believe that their job is to take this matter to what, the permanent secretary or the minister who is in charge of the ministry and say, listen, we have a problem here. We are preventing the citizens of Barbados from moving forward. Who has a means of using their assets to get what they want done, but they can't get it due because the act is discriminating against them. Mm-hmm. Our problem is the public service sector believes that because they have certain titles and they sit in certain positions, that they are somehow some type of rulers. I have problems at the registration office as well in the city. But we don't even have time to get into that.
No, actually, we do have a full board, and it's 10 minutes to 2. I'm surprised that everybody's been waiting. So if you can just give away, if you can, but very valid points, and I'm hoping that those who need to hear. Down to brass tacks, you're on the air. Go ahead, you're on the air. We can hear you. Go ahead. Brass tacks. We're losing callers. Brass tacks. Hello. 3 calls just dropped out. Brass tacks are on the air. Yes, go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Ms. Hague.
Hi.
I was listening very intently of that parent just now.
Mm-hmm.
That who is representing the other parents with their children. Let me tell you something, it's very painful when you know your child and you know what the ability of your child and you know how much you have invested in your child's education. Then when that child is expecting for what it has worked so hard for, then to get less than what it has worked for. So it is very good that those parents are coming out and representing their children. And it's just like, just a scenario. It's just like you go for a little minor op and then you end up dead. And your family can't understand hold your loved one that's gone for a minor op and an update, but you would not know the real truth as the reason. So you have to go along with whatever they say that caused that death. That is all you have to see.
Well, I just want to make it very clear, anybody who misunderstood what I said, I certainly support the parents and the children, and I think that they need to get justice. But on the same token, on the same hand, when you say to me that children are on suicide watch in some cases, then a balance needs to be created while we're doing what we're doing, making sure that we pay attention to the psychological impact of these children. And so I'm certainly there with them. I may not be out there marching, but I certainly am with them in spirit, and I do support them. I think that if mistakes were made, they need to be corrected and apologies should be given. And children work very, very hard. I know of some children that give up everything, their friends, partying, Facebook, just to study from 9 in the morning straight to nighttime, just breaking for lunch or something like that, and then going right back to the books. And certainly when something like this happens, they're devastated, because then, you know they put in all the efforts, and particularly those who want scholarships. So for people who are talking about Queen's College and Harrison's College, there are a lot of children at QC and HC that don't have money, that they're working towards a scholarship because they may be the first person in their family to graduate and to get this opportunity. Do you have any idea how devastating that would be for that child, knowing that they wanted to do this for their family, knowing that they live in conditions that mommy is on welfare and, you know, daddy's not well, and they want to be the first person in that family to succeed and make sure that they can help support the family. So it's not about the elite, because when you say elite, then you're thinking money. There are a lot of children in poverty that pass for these schools, that working towards a scholarship. Let's think about those children. Let's see if we get one more call in.
Down to brass tacks.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, good afternoon.
Afternoon. I'm calling again with regards to the CCXC information. Mm-hmm. Just for those parents, those people, who are saying it's an HC, QC issue, you know, these people are top schools, maybe they should come down a notch, whatever they're saying. Mm-hmm. This is not only in Barbados. This is happening in Guyana, where the top school in Guyana is getting ready to leave the CXC program simply because of what has happened this year. The same thing in Trinidad. This is not just in Barbados. And these children know what they should have gotten. They know they're not stupid. They're bright. They've been studying. Some study more than others, mm-hmm. you know, but they all know when they go into these exams, they know what they've been doing. And they're not expecting to have received a 1 in Unit 1 in a particular subject to come out with a 5. Mm-hmm. Now, that's just unheard of. Absolutely cannot happen unless they've had a bad year, not just a bad day. They would have had to have had a bad year. Yes, we know that things are different this year. Yes, we know that the COVID has changed everything.
Could that have contributed to some of it?
And could have, it could have. Mm-hmm. But you also, as the last caller said, you know your child. The teachers know their children. There are many, many things wrong when the teachers are asked to grade SBAs. And in this year, all of the SBAs went in, not just a sampling. And the teachers who are qualified have graded these SBAs. These are not just arbitrary things. These are lab assignments. These are things that they're required to do. And they're being sent in, and they're being remarked by whom? We don't know whom. We don't know who the people are. And what you're hearing is that you're hearing people who are not qualified, people who do not have the same qualifications as our teachers would have, are rereading, saying that this information is not correct, and they're grading them down. The other part is that they really should have set the second paper. They should have set the long paper and not the multiple choice, because multiple choice has a whole different skill set. But a long paper shows what the child actually knows. It shows the workings. And at the bottom line is, in any math test you take, if the outcome isn't the right number, you can go back through to see if the child actually knows how to do the process being asked for. And that's where doing the long paper is always better than doing the multiple choice. This is, at the end of the day, the Caribbean examination has to have full commitment to redoing every single exam and every single piece of paper that came through for every student, and every student or every student that wants it on their nickel, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
I will be asking for at least two for my son. Thankfully, he is sitting in his bedroom doing his university studies here, and what he's made is exactly what he needed to make for the university. Top marks for the university, which is a top university, and he's doing that. Unfortunately, there was at least one that is questionable.
I think what added insult to injury here was the response, the first response by CXC. It was almost like it just was snubbed, you know? And I think that added insult to injury.
That's a huge, huge problem.
Communication was poor in terms of how they responded to a problem. It was almost like they didn't care, and nothing was going to be done. Hence the reason why people flare up even more from those types of responses. But I want to thank you very, very much. I want to thank our first caller, Miss Boubouliere, for calling in for the Your Report program. All of the callers, Dennis Johnson, the producer, the WhatsAppers, and to the listeners, I hope we added some value to you today in terms of information. And until we meet again, God bless.